And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, December 23rd, 2025. Christmas is literally right around the corner. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. I guess I'm getting all choked up about the holidays. Excited about getting a little bit of a break for everyone, you know, to be able to spend time with friends and family. Weather, so weird. We were talking, we've got Reed Karch and Wyatt Fulton in there in the control room, and we were talking before the show about, you know, we went through that cold snap, and now for Christmas, it's going to be, you know, 75 degrees, which is just weird and strange and, you know, not very seasonal, obviously. And it's going to be warm the rest of the week. And, you know, we're off from work, and, you know, I was looking forward to some crisp, chilly mornings, not having to get up and being able to, you know, stay in the bed a little bit longer. And all week, it's going to be warm. And then Monday morning, when we start getting back up, everybody has to start getting back up for work. And it's going to be 20-something degrees. It's unbelievable. You know, I talk a lot about weather on my show because I'm just fascinated by the swings that we have here in Alabama, particularly in Tuscaloosa. I mean, it's this is a neat place to live if you like weather, because it's we never get snow, or if we do, it's very little, and we can be surrounded by snow. You can have it south of here, you can have it north, east, west, and rarely does Tuscaloosa get it. And the temperature swings are just unbelievable. That's one reason it's so hard for people to stay healthy, because you go back and forth from cold to warm to no humidity to high humidity. So anyway, weird weather swing here for the Christmas break. It's going to be very, very warm. And I think the record on Christmas is around 80. They might push that. They're calling for mid-70s. But we're going to get back on Sports Talk, though. This is the Gary Harris Show. As I said, Reed Karch is manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. That's the number. We got a good lineup for you. I'm going to tell you about it in just a second. But right now, let me tell you, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It really is just a better way of banking. I encourage you to find out more by going to alabamacu.com or stop by and see them at one of their 38 locations in Alabama and one in Northwest Florida. It's a top-rated credit union, and I'm a member. I would love for you to join me. I think you'll find out that you have many advantages. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money and pull extra change in your pocket. All right, our guest lineup for today, we got two good guests. Drudy Armin, the Rocket Man, in for his usual spot at 9:30 from 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville. Then at 10:30, the coach, Ellis Johnson, usually with us on Thursday. Obviously not going to be with us this Thursday because it's Christmas. So we're going to move coach up to today to get his thoughts on the college football playoff. As I said, if you want to join the program, 205-342-9904. Also, Kalen DeBoer met with national and local media yesterday. He did a Zoom press conference and an in-person press conference. We're going to have some of his comments for you a little bit later on in the show as well. But right now, let's jump out on the hotline and welcome in Steve, who's going to lead us off. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Just a couple of quick things. First of all, this is not a sports question, but I would like to know, did you ever see the movie A Complete Unknown?
You know, and I love movies like a lot of people. I did not see that movie. I want you to give me a little synopsis of it, because I'm not right now. It's not jumping into my head.
Well, no, it's the Bob Dylan deal.
Oh, okay, No, I did not get to see it. In fact, I don't see many movies now because of my schedule. But I think the actor that played it played him is it Timothy Chalamet or something like that. But
Chalamet.
Yeah, Chalamet.
Something to that degree. I haven't seen it either. They put it on cable now.
Okay.
It's coming on. It's maybe on now. I don't know. But
I
wanted to get your opinion of it. I just wanted to get you if you'd seen it.
No, I have not. And I'm going to be probably trying to catch it on cable, but you know, I still haven't seen the Elton John movie or the Queen movie or a lot of these.
Oh, you need to watch. That Bohemian Rhapsody is really good.
Yeah.
You know, he won an Academy Award for that.
Okay.
I forget the guy's name. He played, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Good. But I'm digressing from sports a little bit.
That's okay. It's sports and more. You know, we do pop culture on this show. When you said complete unknown, it didn't even hit me. Duh, that's Bob Dylan's song. So Rolling Stone, yeah.
Well, I'm a Dylan fan, and I always heard throughout the years that rock and roll changed by itself. As soon as Bob Dylan went from in 65, as soon as Bob Dylan went from acoustic to electric, I don't know about all that. It may be true. I don't know, but I've always heard that. But I've always liked Bob Dylan.
Well, he's one of the great songwriters of our time. There's no denying that, and a good performer. You know, I mean, a unique singer. Obviously, you wouldn't say his voice is, you know, a classic singing voice, but it's effective, and the songs that he has written, and he's just a genius.
You know, the same could be said for Kris Kristofferson, mm-hmm. but he was an exceptional songwriter in his own right. But listen, Gary, let me ask you to clarify two things for me, and then I'll cut you loose. Did I hear that Billy Gillespie is now at James Madison? Is that right?
Oh, you mean Billy Napier? Billy Napier.
I mean, not
yeah. Gillespie's out in Texas, but Billy Napier is the head coach at James Madison. He sure is.
Yeah. Okay. I'm hearing this through the games during the playoffs, and I sort of go in and out, and I wasn't sure if I heard that right.
Yeah, yeah, and I think you'll do a good job. I mean, you know, I think for James Madison, which their profile has been raised with Kurt Cignetti, and now of course with their trip to the college football playoff, I think for them to get a guy like Billy Napier, you know, keeps that profile high,
I agree.
Yeah, I think he'll do a good job. You mentioned Billy Gillespie; he's actually the basketball coach at Tarleton State out in Texas now.
I just had that Gillespie, and maybe I'm just getting old, Gary, I guess.
No, it's okay. I do it all the time.
My last thing for you, there's another thing I heard during, I guess, the Texas A&M game, and I want you to clarify this, because I may have heard it wrong. I think I heard, was it said that all of Texas A&M's conference wins were against teams with losing records, and the one loss they had, conference loss, was a team with a winning record. Is that accurate?
It probably is right. I'd have to look it up real quick, but go through there. But I'll do it real quick. Hang on, I got a second here because they benefited from a really easier schedule than most teams in the league did.
Well,
but it won't take me but a second to go through it. So let me pull it up here.
If that's true, it sort of lends itself to the fact were they ever as good as the record reflected?
Let's see here. Auburn had a losing record in the SEC. Mississippi State had a losing record in the SEC. Florida had a losing record in the SEC. Arkansas had a losing record in the SEC. South Carolina did. Did Mizzou have a winning record or a losing record? What?
All right. He said winning.
Oh. Missouri, I think, had a winning record in the SEC.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Maybe I heard that wrong. Okay.
They were 500. They were 4-4. So, what it was. Yeah, I don't think they beat anybody in the SEC that had a winning record. So Missouri was 4-4. So,
that's probably how it was.
So, and then they played Texas and they got beat. And then, of course, you know, what really, really, you know, triggered them, of course, was that win at Notre Dame. 41-40. And once they got that win, even with a weak SEC schedule, they were able to fly along I've talked to some Ags, friends of mine, and you know, at the end of the day, they teased their fan base again. I mean, yes, they made the college football playoff, but they didn't get to Atlanta. You know, they lost to Texas again, and then they lost at home in a college football playoff game. So if you're an A&M fan, it is almost like a special kind of agony. You know, I go back to 1975 when they were 10-0, or 9-0, And that was Emory Ballard, Neil Wishbone, and they beat Texas, which was hard for them to do. But the Arkansas game had been moved back for some reason. I don't know if it was weather, but, you know, kind of kept Alabama a couple times. Arkansas game had been moved back to after the Texas game. So they were 10-0. They were headed to play for the national championship, and they lost to Arkansas. And they wound up going to, like, the Peach Bowl or something.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, Aggieland, just bless their hearts, is it just a given that they walk around waiting for the other shoe to drop? Is that,
well, it seems to be. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, this season, while still a really good season, did not end any different than most of their seasons. They came up short. But that 1975 team, that is something else, because they, like I said, they were ranked number two in the country. They beat Texas. So here's what happened. I pulled it up to remind myself. They had run through their schedule, okay? They beat Texas 20-10 on November the 28th. But for some reason, that Arkansas game got pushed back. They played it December 6th at Little Rock at War Memorial Stadium and got beat 31-6, and then wound up playing an average USC team in the Liberty Bowl and lost that game. Kind of like this year. They lost their last two games.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Crazy.
Yeah, and I think Miami is of the upper level class.
Oh, let me tell you something. You know what? Ohio State better be ready to strap it on. I'm going to tell you this. Miami front four, they are grown men. And the reason that makes them so difficult is they don't have to blitz. They can play coverage, and those guys can get after you. And Reuben Bain is an absolute beast. So Ohio State, you know, it's a really good team, but Saban said it before the playoff, and I agree with him. Miami's a scary team. Beck can be up and down, but they got their running game going against A&M, and that defense is legit. So I don't know, that'll be a game to watch.
To me, Beck is the mercurial factor with this. He's it. To me, they go the way he goes, and he's wildly inconsistent as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, he is.
If they hadn't played in the ACC, I'm not sure if they played in the other conference. I don't know that they'd be in the playoffs. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I get it. But they are now, and they're one of eight left, just like Alabama is. Hey, Steve, got to run, man. Good to hear from you.
All right. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you. And I am going to try to watch A Complete Unknown when I see it come across on one of the movie channels on TV. Hey, we need to get the timeout. Mary in Atlanta, you hold on. We'll get to you on the other side. We've got Drew DeArmy coming up at 9:30, Ellis Johnson at 10:30. We've got some Sal from Kevin DeBoer. The Gary Harris Show rolls on right
at Decades. It's not just food, it's nostalgia served fresh. Decades Pub and Grub, where every bite is a blast from the past, downtown at Timberson Square.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy today, but dry, and maybe a sprinkle early this morning. Temperatures climbing into the upper 60s to near 70. Tonight we stay mild with partial clearing, lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow turns sunnier and warmer. Highs in the low to mid 70s. Christmas Day looks mild as well, with highs in the middle 70s. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 61 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports. And on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Monday Night Football last night, interesting game with the Colts fighting for their playoff lives at home against the 49ers. And Phillip Rivers, he was good last night. I mean, he threw for, I think, 277. I have to pull it up, but somewhere in that range. Two touchdowns. Did have a late pick six, but the problem for the Colts in that game, he had 277 yards, two touchdowns, and Brock Purdy threw five touchdowns, though, and the Niners' offense is suddenly a juggernaut. They're healthy, and they beat the Colts on Monday Night Football 48-27. It was 41-27, about 4 minutes to go, and the Colts were actually driving, and Rivers threw a pick six to put it away, but he played really well. The problem now is I'm assuming that he's done, because I think their percentage to make the playoffs is like 5%. And you would think they would want to look at Riley Leonard now these last couple of games. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just kind of speculating. I don't know why you would continue to play. It's actually 2%. I'm reading a story right now on ESPN. 2% chance. So you got to feel like that this may be it for him. I don't know why they would play a 44-year-old quarterback in the final two games when they've got a young quarterback in Riley Leonard, who, interestingly enough, is from Fairhope. You know, where Philip Rivers coaches at St. Michael Catholic. Of course, Riley went to Fairhope High School, but kind of a small world. All right, let's jump back out and get some phone calls. We're going to get to Mary in Atlanta to lead us off in this segment. Hey, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. I didn't get to watch the whole game Friday night, but from what I've been hearing over the past couple of days, it was rough for that first little half, but I'm just glad we were able to come back and pull that off. And like I said, third time was a charm, and I'm just glad we were able to get it done this time.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want to lose to a team three times in 13 months, two times in a month.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think there's any way. And I think Venables is a decent defensive coach, but, I mean, Kalen DeBoer would have been 0-3 against that guy. I think that would have been hard to stomach.
Yeah.
So don't have to worry about it now, though. Got the win. Moving on to, you know, to bigger and better things.
Yeah. The one thing, you know, I just kind of thought of over the past little bit, you know, just thinking and watching, you know, highlights, you know, Indiana is a pretty decent team. We've got to give it to them. Good enough to beat Ohio State for the Big Ten championship and all that. But is there any kind of comparisons that you see, like us versus them, you know, like either offense or defensive side of the ball, just like little things that, you know, we can compare by that we could kind of look out for, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that Alabama's wide receiving core, first of all, that they can block up front and give Ty time. And if they can, I think the Alabama receivers have a chance to make some plays against that Indiana secondary. So that would be an area, because I was on another show this morning before my show, and the guy was pointing out the stats and the running game. And are you shocked that Alabama won the game against Oklahoma? I said, no, I'm not shocked anymore, because – you know, I wish they could run it better. I do. And people that know me know I like being able to line up. But that's not who this team is. And they can win without having a great running game. They've proven that. So I think the passing game for Alabama is going to be key. And I think they'll have a chance to make some plays down the field if they can block up front. Did we lose Mary? Mary in the ATL? Mary. All right, call back, Mary. I don't know what happened to you. We're going to move on. Maybe we'll get Mary back on here before the end of the segment. Larry the Music Man. Hey, Larry.
Gary Harris, my music brother. I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas and all the Tide people and music people that's made my show click. And you really need to watch the Elton John thing, because I'm going to tell you, man, it opened my eyes just how damn good he was live in the 70s. And the Beatle anthology, Complete Unknown, Newport Folk Festival in 1965, he went electric and got booed. And after three songs, they were throwing beer, they were throwing cups and everything they could get, and he went into like a Rolling Stone, and it changed music forever electrically for him.
Mm-hmm.
And his, yeah, it really, they just went nuts when he did that, and they accepted him. But anyway, I hope you have a great Christmas and everybody be safe out there. But I gave Wyatt kudos for John Schlitt of Head East. That was one of my shows coming up featuring Head East.
Yeah, I think that was actually Reed that played that yesterday.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Reed, you go for it.
We talked a little bit about it, and that was
that. I tried to call in. I said, my God, that's my show coming up.
Really?
After the first of the year.
Now, that album, and, I said, I hope I was right. It was flat as a pancake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have the album. And I saw them live a couple of times. They were high energy, and John Schlitt was quite a front man. He would wear no shirt, and he kind of had it going on, you know, and had the looks and everything. But he changed over and went Christian rock. Right after that, about 2 years, that was their big hit, and they had a couple more. But one of the songs on Flat as a Pancake was Going Back to Georgia. Man, that That is really good song. They were a really good band, Gary.
I love that album, man. And the single is just unbelievable, man. It is. It's hard driving, straightforward, in your face
and
rock and roll.
Shows were like that. YouTube, they're live. Them doing that live, man. They were just as good as anybody.
Okay.
But anyway, I just wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas, brother, and look forward to coming back after the first and continuing our segments and have some new stuff coming up. We're going to go in a different direction in the 70s, some things we hadn't covered. So looking forward to it.
Appreciate it, Larry. Merry Christmas to you.
And Roll Tide, brother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Larry, good to hear from you. Yeah, we won't have a show on Wednesday the next couple of weeks, clearly, with the holidays, but good to hear from you. And I don't know what happened to Mary in the ATL. She might have been at work. Sometimes you're at work and you have to go, because it was like wasn't like it was a phone issue, but she was there and she was gone. Hey, let me talk to you about my friends at the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. The Y is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. And I know a lot of people, as soon as these holidays are over, are going to be wanting to get back in the gym, me included. And I would really encourage you, when you're looking for a gym, yeah, you can find some that are cheaper. But if you want a full service facility that has a great, great, great wellness area, terrific fitness rooms, great classes, daycare, Silver Sneakers program, 2 lighted outdoor pickleball courts, terrific staff, awesome personal training, then that's the Y. It's a full service facility. Plus, it's part of the community. So get by and see them, 2300 13th Street, or you can find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. We'll be back with the Rocky Man, Drew DeArmond, next here on The Gary Harris Show.
And don't forget their famous catch-all batter. Bring that Catfish Heaven flavor home. Pick up a bag in local stores. Catfish Heaven, where every bite gets its halo.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans,
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to mylocalcustomers.com today.
That's mylocalcustomers.com. Mylocalcustomers.com.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Touchdown brings me round and get to find. I'm not the man that think I am at home.
932, welcome back. back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for the Rocket Man, Drew DeArmond, 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville, where he co-hosts Talking Ball weekday mornings with Scott Tyson. And here we are ready for a little holiday cheer with Drew, who always brightens up the show. Good morning, Drew. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Gary. We just over here for our, we have our annual Moron of the Year show, and over at my buddy Bruce's, and we fry a turkey. And we fried a turkey this morning, and it's already almost gone. So we had smoked sausage biscuits and fried turkey this morning, and we named Moron of the Year. And for the first time, and about, we've done it for about 5 years, a caller won it this year for the first time ever, and it's someone you guys are very familiar with. AC won our Moron of the Year.
Oh, boy. Yeah. AC.
I wasn't expecting it. I thought Sharon Moore was going to win.
Yeah, you got to give AC credit. If you can trump Sharon Moore, buddy, you've done something.
Yeah, and it was all of our callers, man. We just take votes, and they were calling in, man. It looked like Sharon Moore was going to win, and AC made a late surge, even though he's banned from my show. So I guess he won't be able to talk about it.
What an accomplishment. That is something else. Yeah, you trumped Sharon Moore, boy. You have done something to be the Moron of the Year. Hey, Drew, let's get into some football in Alabama. It did not look good early, and there's no other way around it. Alabama, of course, you know, you got to give Oklahoma credit. You know, they were riding the emotion of having a home playoff game, and they were ready to go, and they jumped on Alabama. But give the Crimson Tide credit. You know, Kalen DeBoer, you know, is a cool customer on the sideline. They kept their head in the game. Down 17-0, they go 75 yards. And, of course, Lottie Brooks, the freshman, two big catches, a 25-yard catch, and then, of course, on 4th-and-2, the touchdown. And yes, some things happened after that that went Alabama's way. But without that drive, you probably don't get back in the game. So Alabama made it happen by getting on the board, and then, of course, you know, you get the fumble punt snap and you get a field goal, and then you get the pick six when Oklahoma was trying to go back up 2 scores. And I thought for most part of the second half, Alabama controlled the game.
Well, they did. They went on a 34-7 run. I mean, that's hard to do on the road, especially in the college football playoff. And like I said, I think the game started turning when Alabama, you know, scored on the 4th-and-2, and then Oklahoma drops a touchdown pass that would have put them, that would have answered Alabama's score, and really giving them a lot of momentum. And when they dropped it, Alabama was able to block the punt, but get the muff punt, whatever you want to call it. And they didn't turn it into a touchdown. They turned it into 3 points, and all of a sudden, it's a drastically different game. It's 17-10. It's a one-score game. And then when Alabama dropped a pick six by Justin Jefferson on November 15th, that was a huge advance, because that could have given Alabama a 14-10 lead. This time, Xavier Brown does not drop it. And Alabama, that completely flipped it, gave Alabama all the momentum going into halftime, 17 up. And then when they outscored OU 10-0 in the third quarter, it put a lot of game pressure on Oklahoma. And that's in the playoff, that's kind of what it's about, putting game pressure on a team. And this time Alabama was able to, you know, play with a lead. And, you know, it was the best comeback at the Kalen DeBoer era, but still playing with a lead in the third and fourth quarter was huge. And certainly you give Oklahoma credit, John McTier, and, you know, what he was able to do, and with that touchdown pass in the third quarter to Deion Burks, but when they're in the season in the fourth quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. But when Alabama answered it and stretched the lead back out to 10, you know, past the 10-minute mark, I just felt like it really put a lot of stress on OU. And if Alabama had had to settle for a field goal on that touchdown drive, then one score can beat you. But when you're up 10, it puts a ton of pressure on Oklahoma. And who would have thunk it, Gary? I've made this comment, but going into the college football playoff, we know that it's been an up-and-down struggle for Connor Talty this year. But you could argue that Connor Talty's been the best kicker in the playoffs so far. And who would have thought that he was going to outperform the great Tate Sandell, who had a monster regular season, but when it mattered most, he didn't come through in the playoff.
Yeah, he missed him. The first one was shocking that he missed it, but
shocking.
Yeah, and the second one came up a little short on the 50-yarder. Another thing for Alabama, and again, I was in Atlanta. I saw it. It was not a good performance by the Crimson Tide, but you know, they were no excuses. You play with who you got, but that was not a healthy football team. They looked much healthier Ty was stepping into his throws. Jam Miller and Cuevas weren't 100%, but they were able to go. And now you get another break. So, you know, and I think DeBoer kind of indicated this yesterday that they might be as healthy for the Rose Bowl against Indiana as they've been since early in the season. So that's good news if you're Alabama because, you know, when you're playing with guys out, it impacts your football team. That's just the reality of it.
Well, it does, but it also gives you a chance for guys to step up. That's one of the things with the season being as long as it is now. Huge, huge shout out to Keon Keeley.
Yeah.
He played the best game of his career and really, and, you know, prayers and still hope that LT Overton could get healthy and get his medical situation under control. I would still doubt that he would be available for the Rose Bowl. It has to give you a lot of confidence with the way Keon Keeley has played. He's been outstanding. He's coming off his best game. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about him because where is he? Why isn't he playing? He was a five-star recruit coming out of Tampa. And a lot of people thought he was going to be the next great edge rusher. And he's kind of had to undergo a metamorphosis, a transformation. He's turned into a bandit like LT Overton. He's gained weight, but he's still got that talent. He just had to develop. And even in this NIL era, that has to happen sometimes. And you got to be, you know, happy for him. He didn't sulk. He didn't go into the portal and leave. And now he's become a big part of this defense. I think he's earned the trust of the coaching staff. And he's going to be a big part of this effort if they want to try to beat Indiana.
What's it going to take? Indiana is a complete football team, disciplined, tough. I think probably more talented than they get credit for. You know, Kurt Cignetti's not doing this with mirrors. They got good football players, including the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. They're undefeated. They won at Oregon. They beat Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship game. I mean, they're a quality team. I sense some Alabama fans are still looking as it's, you know, as you have a tendency to do, that it's in, well, it's Indiana. It's Indiana. Alabama versus Indiana. But this team deserves respect, and you know, they're going to be a hard team to beat. What are the keys, do you think, for Alabama?
Same as beating Oklahoma. And seeing Oklahoma's front seven twice, I think hopefully will help them because Indiana's got some records up front.
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing that I noticed watching them against Ohio State is their front, I think they sacked, you know, going into the game, Sayan hadn't been sacked much at all. And I think he went down, what, five or six times against Indiana. So Indiana won that game up front. So Alabama, they're going to have to play a really good game up front because Indiana's got some guys that can really rush that are really good up front, and their front seven is outstanding. So they're going to – Alabama's got to protect Ty Simpson, of course. I think the same keys that the Oklahoma game, they've got to be at least even in the kicking game, if not win it. And shockingly, they won it against Oklahoma. I thought they would be good just to keep it even. I think they've got to win the turnover battle yet again. They did against Oklahoma 1-0. And that one was huge. Xavier Brown taking it back for the pick six. And then I think the return of the explosiveness offensively. We saw Alabama complete five passes of over 20 yards. They're going to have to do that against Oklahoma. And, you know, and have some semblance of a running game. And they did with Daniel Hill against Oklahoma. But they're going to have a little bit more than that probably if they want to beat the number one team in the country in Indiana. So, and then, you know, another small key, and it's not really small, but it's what you're going to have to do. They're going to have to contain Mendoza. I mean, he is the Heisman Trophy winner. You know, his stat line wasn't spectacular against Ohio State, but he made a lot of really nice plays. He's a better athlete than you think. And Alabama, they got after Mateer and sacked him five times. They're going to have to do the same thing to Mendoza.
From a coaching standpoint for Alabama, there's some movement here. Guys taking jobs, and of course, all of the, you know, discussion about Kalen DeBoer. And I've said all along, I think he's staying at Alabama. I think the situation here is good for him. And but do you sense now with the win over Oklahoma that you know, the Michigan discussion is kind of on the back burner now, and the focus is strictly for Kalen DeBoer and even the guys that are leaving to take other jobs on finishing this thing off and doing something special?
Well, yeah, I mean, you want to play as long as you can, and, you know, it's a privilege that you earn, and everybody wants to try to win a national championship. You know, I said on your show and I said on others, including mine, that everything from this point forward is gravy. They're 11-3. I mean, I had higher expectations in the preseason, but you have to let, you know, that's the preseason. You have to see how the season plays itself out, and this is the way it's played itself out. And I think you know, reaching the college football playoff and then winning the game is huge for this program under Kalen DeBoer. And certainly now, you know, why not, you know, try to upset Indiana? That sounds funny, but this is the college football era we're in right now. They're the number one team in the country, but certainly you've got, if you, with it being as healthy as you've been in a while, being on a neutral field in the Rose Bowl, let's go. Let's see what happens. And you never know. And it's kind of interesting because there's brands on a lot of these that are on this side of the bracket of Alabama. Alabama is the bluest of the blue bloods on this side of the bracket because Oregon's never won it, and Texas Tech doesn't have a great history. So, and then you look at Indiana, and they've got a terrible history. And yet, Alabama's the blue blood. But they're probably the underdog, too. They'd be an underdog to any of these three teams in this new world of college football. So, but yeah, if you're Alabama, you just want to let it rip, get as healthy as you can, and go compete.
I was on another show this morning, Drew, before my show, and the host was rattling off the stats of the running game from the Oklahoma game again. Of course, the sack yardage comes off of that. But he said, are you shocked that you know, is it, how shocking is it Alabama could win a game with 25 carries for 28 yards, you know, 1.1 yards per carry? I said, it's not shocking to me. Do I wish they ran the football better? Yeah, sure I do. But at the same time, they won the game. And this team can win games without, you know, they're not going to reinvent themselves this deep into the season. And he just kept going on about the stats and how, you know, this is an Alabama football. And I said, well, this is a new era for everybody. And, you know, they can win without running the football. You know, they've proven that, right, Drew?
Well, I mean, it's not ideal, but it's called situational football. It's almost like the NFL. You have to run it at important times. And Daniel Hill's 29-yard run was extremely important, Gary, to pop that and continue that drive. And then for Tommy Bernard to make that, you know, Tyrone Crothro-type catch, just to make it stick by staying with the running game and Daniel Hill scoring from 5 or 6 yards out, those two plays were. And you go back and you look at the stat line, I think he averaged 4.8 yards per carry, had about 8 rushes for 43 yards. He'll take that in a game like this. That's just the way it is. It's not, you know, the brute force blunt running game that Nick Saban put together at Alabama where you would have backs, you know, going for 150, 160 yards in a playoff game. It's got to run it well situationally. And I think Alabama did that under Kalen DeBoer. And I've said it repeatedly, and Nick Saban kind of evolved into that, even though he still wanted to run the football. But under Kalen DeBoer, they're going to be a quarterback-centric passing team, and so you better just understand that. I do think they're going to be better in the future running the football when they get offensive linemen that fit their scheme a little better and they recruit to the running back position a little and that fits their scheme. But and that's just the truth. That's a fact. I mean, they're only in year two. And they're still working with a lot of guys that they inherited. So they're still trying to change this roster over. And I know fans don't want to hear that. And they want to talk about the Portal King Lane Kiffin and all that stuff. But I'll ask, how many playoff games has the Portal King Lane Kiffin ever won? And he doesn't get credit for Wild Turkey's victory either, as much as he'd like to.
Let's get to some of these other and kind of look back at Friday and Saturday. We recap the Alabama game, obviously. But for A&M, you know, and I was talking earlier on my show about the 75 season where they were 10-0 after beating Texas and number two in the country, and yet they had to go play the Arkansas game. For some reason, it had gotten pushed back to December the 6th, and they went to War Memorial Stadium in Little Rock, got run 31-6, and then wound up losing to a decent USC team in the Liberty Bowl. And you know, so they went from 10-0 to 10-2. So, you know, there's some, you know, resemblance to that this season. I mean, you're 11-0, you lose to Texas, you still make the playoff, but you got a home playoff game, and you get absolutely throttled by Miami's defense. And for A&M, they didn't make it to Atlanta. They still haven't made an appearance there. They made the playoff, but it just seems like, well, you and I have talked about this. I know you and I and Rodney have all talked about it. It is the classic get close but can't get over the hump program, and it happened again to A&M this year.
Yeah, they seem to kind of be that program where they can never get over the hump. I mean, I just had to shake my head. I was really impressed with them early in the year, but they did have to take into account that they had an easier SEC schedule. They didn't play, they only played one of the top seven teams in the league. And as you just rightfully said, it was at the end of the regular season out on the road at their biggest rival, Texas, and they got handled 27-17. And then they go into this game with Miami. I picked them 31-24. I thought they'd be able to move the football. And I'll just be honest, Marshall Reed, while he made some nice plays on the downs that matter, he was horrible.
You're right. 100%.
And, I mean, he's a great athlete, but he's an erratic passer. And, you know, they have Craver, who had a great year, and, you know, has had a much better year than a guy that has been more ballyhooed than Brian Williams has had. And then, you know, Concepcion had a great year. But their defense, too, while they could rush the passer, if you notice, later in the year, they weren't very good against the run. And that came back to haunt them against Miami. They gave up, you know, almost 200 rushing yards to the Canes. Because I thought they did a good job against their passing game. I was not impressed with Carson Beck and their passing game. But I'll be honest, you know, I know they get to play Ohio State in the next round. But unless Mario can get that passing game going, I don't like their chances against the Buckeyes being one-dimensional. And right now, you know, that was Beck's first playoff game. It didn't impress me. He's not that mobile a guy. I really like Ohio State in the matchup with Miami.
The other two first-round games, we had the group of five teams. We'd seen this movie before. Tulane gets blown out by Ole Miss again. And even though it says 51-34, give James Madison credit for continuing to play. But that game was over at halftime. Your thoughts on group of five teams being in the playoff going forward?
Well, I think at max there has to be just one. Really, I think they need to create a group of six or a group of five if the Pac-12 is included with the Power Five again. But I think they need their own playoff because they just can't compete. And if you're going to take a group of six right now, representative, I think it just needs to be one team. And it's kind of like that NCAA tournament 16-1. Now, we've had a couple of those, Billy Dickinson and UNBC win, but that's those odds are so long, you know what I'm saying? And I just don't think those teams can compete. I think it's a waste of time, and I think it would have been a lot more fun watching Texas and Vanderbilt or Notre Dame and Vanderbilt, Notre Dame and Texas get into the playoffs than it was. And I love Tom Summerall. I love what he's done. I love what he's about. I hope he comes to Florida and does an amazing thing. But we'd already seen it in the regular season. Tulane just cannot compete with Ole Miss, and certainly while they battle, as you said, I think it was 34-6 at halftime, really, in the first half. Oregon didn't miss a beat against James Madison.
All right, so we get to look forward to these quarterfinal bowl matchups with the Orange Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the All-State Sugar Bowl, and the Cotton Bowl Classic. We'll talk more about those next week. All right, I want to get to a little hoops with you, Drew, because the Crimson Tide was in your hometown of Huntsville for the Rocket City Classic against Kennesaw State. I know you got to see Antoine Pettway and Philip Pearson and company. And Alabama, I want to ask you about the whole game, but I think Coach Oates was a little disappointed. I know I was tracking the game that you can give Kennesaw credit. You know, they had a lot of pride. They kept playing. But, you know, Alabama did not finish that game, you know, up 30 early in the second half and wound up winning by 11. Just your thoughts on Alabama. They once again got out-rebounded. It wasn't much. But, you know, what are you seeing from this team? It still feels like that they're good. We know that, talented. But that they're still going to have to be a little bit more physical and tougher team going forward, in my opinion. What are you seeing from them?
Well, you know, I followed it remotely from Orange Beach. I was with Huntsville High basketball.
Oh, okay,
remotely,
okay.
You know, they played first half. You know, they played with a lot of intensity and execution on the defensive end of the floor. You know, I thought they came out and they did a good job on the glass. Aiden Sorrell was tremendous. LeBaron was good. You know, they built a big lead up 30 points. I think we're up 54-28 at halftime. But in the second half, I just think that they didn't play with as much intensity. I thought Taylor Bowen made too many mental mistakes, and I know Nate Oates was all over him. I didn't think that, Latrell Reitzel played exceptionally well. He's continuing to struggle in his return from this Achilles injury and his other lower leg injury. They need him to round back into form because right now he's not making shots, Gary. I mean, he was 3 of 14. He couldn't get a three to drop, and that's just not like him. He's usually a knockdown, and he's got to be better. He and Bull Bowen have to improve if the team's going to make a deep run into the SEC tournament. And they've got a Bristow has to continue to, you know, up his minutes load and be productive, because they're going to need him, because Onyeji Walk is almost certainly headed for a red shirt. You're not going to get him. And then Williamson is a 5 minute a game guy. You're not going to get much out of him. So you need production out of Bull Bowen and Bristow. And then you've got to have just a guard oriented team. Now, Holloway was good yet again. LeBaron was good, but got minimal production, at least offensively, out of Millett. Didn't take many shots, didn't produce much. And then you got to get more out of Reitzel. But the one good thing was Jaleel Bethea took advantage of some minutes and had 11. But they've got to get more consistent production out of that 4 and 5, guard group. You know, they've got a lot of depth there, and the guards are going to lead the way. But if they're going to win an SEC championship, guys like Bowen and Bristow are going to have to produce. Aiden Sorrell had the best game of his career, and he's been really solid this year, but he needs some help. And those other two bigs are going to have to come through if Alabama, you know, hopes to be as good as Nate Oates wants them to be.
Great stuff as always, Drew. Let everybody know where they can find you.
They can find me at 977 ESPN. We're still working on Drew D, 977 ESPN, trying to get that back to the Iranians, but we'll hopefully get that back at some point. But so they can connect with me at 977 ESPN. They can hear Talking Ball on 97.7 The Zone each and every morning. If you missed that, we have our 97.7 The Zone SoundCloud page, and then we also have 977ESPN.com. And we always are honored to be on with you each Tuesday, talking ball and talking some Alabama athletics. And we appreciate all the listeners, and we wish everybody, you and yourself, and everybody in Tuscaloosa, a Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much, Drew. Appreciate that. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one right after this timeout.
Customized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com, and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and out
years of oil changes only at the family-owned number one volume Nissan dealer in Alabama. And here's the best part: you can get pre-approved in minutes with no impact to your credit. Visit townsendnissan.com today.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions, so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama!
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
9:57. Reminder, still time to get by T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery, University Mall. Take advantage of that $99 shoot sale for Christmas. That's T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. All right, let's go wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Another hour of the Gary Harris Show is on the way. I see we got phone calls lined up. We'll get to more phone calls. We'll have the coach, Ellis Johnson, on at 10:30. And maybe we'll get to hear from Kayla DeBoer as well if we have time. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines. Holiday drivers will find the lowest gas prices in more than 4 years. The nationwide average, $2.85 a gallon. In Alabama, $2.52, according to AAA's Clay Ingram.
Alabama is one of the five states in the country with the lowest gas prices.
Ingram says make sure your car's in good shape before you travel. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and the day after are officially federal holidays this year, thanks to President Trump. Federal agencies and courts will be closed, but banks, post offices, and retailers will largely be open. I'm Don Hartley.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's
Chris Perfect.
Early in the game in Detroit, Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver DK Metcalf was apparently involved in an altercation with a fan at Ford Field. The CBS broadcast managed to catch Metcalf talking to the fan and then shoving them after words were exchanged. Referees of the game did not catch the incident. The NFL has yet to weigh in on what is going to happen to the wide receiver. Chiefs quarterback Gardner Minshew is feared to have suffered a torn ACL in Sunday's tilt against the Tennessee Titans. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson came out of his game on Sunday Night Football in the second quarter. Reports indicate he suffered a back bruise and he's now considered day-to-day. Quinshon Judkins, running back for the Cleveland Browns, faces a 4 to 5 month recovery.
Do for you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, North River Timber, co@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
and fitting and providing complimentary hat shaping. This Christmas, share a piece of the American spirit. Boot Barn. Unwrap the West.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Now number two of the Gary Harris Show right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTVC, your home for Alabama sports. I'm Gary Harris. Reed Karch manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the hotline at 205-342-9904. Wyatt Fulton in hanging out with us as well this morning. Of course, he's got his show, Deep South College Football Show, coming up at 1. We got Miller's Edge coming up at 11. Ryan Fowler with the game at 2. We're jam-packed for phone calls. So we're going to dive right in. They're lined up. Hey, listen, we're going to get to everybody. Even if we don't do it in this segment, we'll get to you in the next segment. We got Ellis Johnson coming up at 9:30. But let's see. Let's lead off with Tom, and then we'll get to Tommy and Romulus, and then we'll get to Corey, and we got another call coming in. All right, the sheriff is on to lead us off. Hey, Tom.
Morning, Gary. How are you,
man? Well.
You know, I heard Coach DeBoer say something I thought was interesting when he was talking about or asked about Ty and his performance against Oklahoma and what seemed to happen to kind of change things around for Ty. And he said this. He said Ty, he saw a guy that was committed to playing as hard as he possibly could to help the team win. And when the other players saw his commitment, they fed off of that and they did everything they could to help him. I thought that was a very interesting statement. And he also said this in regards to the commitment that Ty had to win. He said, if you'll notice, Ty started to pull the ball more on the run option play rather than just handing it off. And I thought that was a killer statement.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the quarterback, you know, he sets the tone.
No, not me. Disagree with him. Coach DeBoer. He's the one who said it.
Well, I'm just saying. The quarterback sets the tone.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you for calling it in. And yeah, I agree with Coach DeBoer. Yeah, I think that Ty Simpson's been a leader for this football team all year. And he was a leader on Friday night when he needed to be in the biggest game of the year. And, you know, they followed his lead. Right. Absolutely.
That's kind of what he was saying. And But now, it makes me wonder, was Ty not feeling well, so therefore he let that ball ride with the running back more, and maybe he was feeling better Friday night and was pulling it more, and things like that. That's just me. It doesn't have to be that way. And I was thinking about that. And I also heard another discussion about Ty and his performances the last four games. And off the record, this person said he talked to Coach DeBoer. And Coach DeBoer said sometimes the quarterback has got to identify those people that's coming unblocked. He said sometimes it's up to the quarterback to know who's coming unblocked and to move the ball quickly or whatever he needs to do. And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, well, that is a big part of football. You know, that's why they have hot routes. That's why they have there are times when they bring more than you can block.
And I get that.
And it's on the quarterback. No, I know. Listen, are you going to just argue with me every time I try to follow up on a point that you make? Are you going to be the grit?
I was kind of going along with you. It probably sounded like I was arguing.
I agree with everything that you've said this morning, whether you've taken it from somebody else or you're saying it yourself.
I got it from somebody. Listen, I'm not that smart. I can't figure
but
stuff
you're,
like that out.
You're right. I mean, everything that coaches put on their quarterback, there's more to playing quarterback.
I called in to tell you, because you do know, you and Rodney and them talk about things like that. Y'all picked up on stuff, and I wanted to get what you thought that the effect that maybe had down the stretch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, let me just say this, Tom. I thought Ty Simpson looked healthier in that game. I admire him battling through some stuff this year, but and they blocked up front for him against, you know, in the second half he had time to throw the football, so it works together.
Right.
But I just thought he was effective, and when he's effective and he's throwing the ball like that, Alabama can beat anybody. And we, you know, as we've discussed, they're not going to have a great running game. Doesn't mean they can't run it better, but you know, he's going to be the key for them moving forward in this playoff. And I thought, you know, he played great in that game, and if he plays great against Indiana, they're going to have a chance to win.
Also, Gary, this person pointed out, and I agree with it, I want to see what your take is, that once they cleared that first quarter, they started to play loose, they started to play like, you know what, we may get our ass beat, but we're going to play our rear ends off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And they played loose, relaxed, and effective.
Yeah.
And effective. And when they're like that, this person said they can beat anybody.
Yeah, they weathered the storm. They got through it. They got themselves back in the game. And then, quite frankly, they took control of the game. Hey, I got a bunch of callers. Tom, if I don't talk to you,
Merry Christmas, man.
Merry
Christmas. I love you, Gary.
Appreciate you, pal. Really do. Appreciate you. All right, let's get to Tommy and Romulus. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, Gary. How are you today?
Good morning.
Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you.
Well, I'm just asking because people don't believe it. I've done something silly last week. I picked against Alabama. Everybody would term that me. But that's the way it goes. I'm happy the team won. I'm happy the team showed character. I hope they get some confidence to play on New Year's Day. I think they will. I mean, so that's all I'm much got to say. I just wish all a Merry Christmas. And thank you for letting me call y'all this year. And take care.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, Tommy. And listen, you picked against Alabama, but I know you're glad that you were wrong. And you know, I pick against them every now and then. And I think sometimes people get mad when someone picks against Alabama. It doesn't mean you want Alabama to lose the game. You know, you're just trying to pick who you think's going to win. So nobody's mad at you for that, Tommy. And I know you're glad you're wrong. Hey, let's get to Corey in Trustful. Hey, Corey. Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas to you too. I have a couple of things I need to ask you. One, I've heard a couple of things of this could be Alabama's 1,000th program win, And I've heard another saying that this would be Alabama's 986th win. Is there any chance you can clarify which one is which?
Now, say that again for me. Make sure I'm clear on this.
It's out there that if Alabama beats Indiana, that it would be Alabama's 1,000th program win. Or it's just Alabama's 986th win because of the sanctioned wins.
I maybe can help us with that too. There's some games that were taken away through the NCAA. So I think the official count is 984, Wyatt. Out on the field, Corey, I think this would be 1,000. I guess that's the way we're looking at it. And listen, vacating victories are for – that's the stupidest crap of all the stupid stuff the NCAA has ever done. The taking away of victories to me is the absolute dumbest. It does no one any good. Listen, the day the game was played, one team celebrated and one team was not happy. If you come back two or three years later and say we're going to reward the other team with a victory, they still don't feel like they won the game. If you forfeit or if you vacate and you take it away from the team that won it. But I think I'd have to pull it up. I think Alabama is over 1,000 victories. If they hadn't had those games vacated, I'm not sure, but
yeah, I think that is right. If Alabama had no victories vacated all the time, they would be over 1,000.
Yeah, so maybe this does get them back to 1,000. I'm not sure, Corey. I've heard the same thing. But when you start talking about vacated victories and forfeit victories, I tell you what I wish Alabama would do, because, you know, the NCAA doesn't stand for anything. I think they should just petition the NCAA and say, hey, we're taking our games back. We're taking the games that we won on the field, and we're putting them back in our record books. So they've won a lot of games. I know that.
I listened to Ryan Fowler yesterday, and he was saying something along the lines of, if you pressure Fernando Mendoza, you can get pressure on him, and you can affect him.
Well, that's the case with most quarterbacks. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's any different than anybody else. You got somebody in your face. It's harder to throw the football, but I will tell you this, Corey, he's really good. And they do need to get pressure on him, because I agree. If he stands back there and he can survey the field, they got good receivers too. Now, he's going to find guys, and they're going to make plays. So, yeah, I think the pressure's critical. I was glad to see Alabama in the second half. You know, Kane Womack's a zone guy. They played some man-to-man. They played some man-to-man against Oklahoma, and they brought some pressure. And, I think sometimes you flood the coverage areas with zone and you bring three people, but if you don't get pressure, eventually there's going to be holes they're going to find in those zones. And I like pressure, man. I like getting after the quarterback. So I'm hoping we will see Alabama do a little more of that against Indiana.
Yeah, I agree. You can't let Mendoza stay in the pocket and pick you apart, because that's what he does best. But I would hope Alabama's talent can win out this game, because we definitely have the more talented team. But I feel good about this game. I really do.
Well, I'm going to research it a little bit more, but I definitely think Alabama can win the game. But I also have a lot of respect for Indiana. I think they're a great football team.
Yeah, I do too. It'll be a great game, and if we do, it's just gravy on top going forward.
Yeah, it will. I mean, anytime you win, any win from here on out, man, is sweet. And, you know, if you keep stacking them, though, I mean, you know, if you knock off number one Indiana and you get to Atlanta against either Oregon or Texas Tech, I mean, shoot, dude, all of a sudden you're in the semifinals. So who knows? You may just play your way into the national championship game. It could happen. And then all of a sudden we're, you know, it's business as usual for the University of Alabama, which would be sweet. Hey, only one of eight teams left, Corey. So that's the good news.
Yeah. Our path is really not as bad as you think.
No, it's not. It's not. Alabama, listen, this is Alabama, okay? Anytime they line up, they got a chance to win. That's just what this program's all about. And I've got, as I said, a lot of respect for Indiana. I have a lot of respect for either Oregon or Texas Tech. And then obviously, if you get the national championship game, you're going to be playing a great team. But I never say Alabama can't win. Now, sometimes I pick them to lose because I don't think they're going to win. But this is a good enough football team that if they play their best game, they can beat anybody that's left. I believe that.
Yeah, I agree, Gary. And today we can be looking at number 19 in the near future.
Yep, could be. Hey, thank you so much, Corey. Appreciate you, man.
Good to talk to you here, Roll Tide.
All right, my friend. And I'll tell you what, let's get to our break here so we stay on time. And then we're going to come back. We're going to take more phone calls. Before we do, though, I do need to tell you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health here in Tuscaloosa. And if you're a man and you're struggling in terms of your energy level, let me say this to you, that fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, these aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. What can you expect from Game Day tailored men's health plans? How about this? Boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery, and yes, even natural hair regrowth support. It's a three-step plan. They'll get you in the office there. It's a beautiful facility, and it won't take long. Complete intake and simple blood work gets results in 15 minutes. Meet with a clinic director who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health, and begin your customized treatment plan immediately. 1013 Street East in Tuscaloosa. Get back in the game with Game Day Men's Health. All right, we got plenty of phone calls coming back on the other side of the break, and then we got the coach Ellis Johnson coming up at the bottom of the hour. Gary Harris Show will continue here on top.
Boot fitting and providing complimentary hat shaping. This Christmas, share a piece of the American spirit. Boot Barn. Unwrap the West.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy today, but dry and maybe a sprinkle early this morning. Temperatures climbing into the upper 60s to near 70. Tonight we stay mild with partial clearing. Lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow turns sunnier and warmer. Highs in the low to mid 70s. Christmas Day looks mild as well, with highs in the middle 70s. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:18, we are just slammed with phone calls. We're going to take them in the order in which they came in. Jeff in Tennessee, then Philip, then Cowboy, then Robbie Glenn. All right, Jeff in Tennessee going to lead us off. Hey, Jeff.
How's it going? I was going to say I watched most of the game Friday night. And when the guys took it back and tied up, I thought they'd have a chance to win. But I didn't think they would, but they came back and made the plays. You can't do anything, but that's all you could really do, but didn't watch too much of the other stuff. But I'm not too big a fan of the playoff system, but it's what they've gotten, it's what they've done, so they're going to keep expanding. I know there's a guy on Twitter who said he wants a 2014 system and get rid of the bowls entirely. That's what he wants. And then did you know how many teams Division III has their playoffs? Gary, do you know?
How many teams are in Division III playoffs?
Playoffs, I mean football. And their football playoffs, how many teams they
get? Yeah, I want to say it's 16, but it might be more. No. Is it more than that?
No, it's 40.
Okay.
It's 40 teams.
Wow, they do 40 teams in Division III?
They have 40 teams in Division III football, but not 16, 40. They have 40, and they figure it out for a few weeks where they go and look it up. It's 40 teams.
Oh, I believe you.
They have 40 in their playoffs. And the 1AA has 24. Now they had 16 for years.
Yeah.
Because some of them have buys, just like Division III, a few of them have buys, and they get, you know, but they have 40, and they do. Of course, the championship this year is going to be in Nashville. It's going to be Montana State.
Yeah.
Illinois State, the West, going to be at the Vanderbilt.
Yeah. And I just looked it up. Division II's expanded to 32 teams themselves. So, wow. Yeah.
What I was going to say is I watched a little bit of hoops, and Kentucky's kind of come on the last two games.
They have played better, yeah.
They were down by 7 at half last two ball games and won. Like I told guy yesterday, Quaint, that's why everybody, that's why all the NBA's guys, but I know y'all didn't watch it, but he had 10 points, I said, make rebounds on Saturday first game. He come back and played low. They've had some injury getting back healthy now, but they got a game today, and they start conference play. But what I was going to say is they really played good and Patino pretty much playing blast the media. And I'm glad he did because they've been on Pope for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. But see, they've lost to 4 good teams. They lost to Louisville, Gonzaga, Michigan State, North Carolina. And a guy up here said that Hubert Davis should have been fired last year because they were so bad. And I told him, I said, they got great recruits coming in, one of the best classes. They're going to be good. What are they right now? 13-1. They won in Rupp Arena, so his job's safe. I said, people in Tennessee, most of the South don't know that they don't start watching them by February.
You're right.
Everything like that. So, you know, that's pretty much how the deal goes. But now I'm going to watch the rest of the playoffs. I'm hoping Indiana gives Alabama a good down. I'll be rooting for the Big Ten because I don't root for the end of the school.
I know you do. All right, Jeff. Have a Merry Christmas, man.
I'm going to see y'all, man. See you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, my friend. All right, let's get to Philip. Hey, Philip.
Hey, Gary. Just want to tell you, there's a great guy on X that everybody ought to follow. It's called prideofthetide.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he has amazing stuff just about daily, multiple posts a day on Alabama's football history and basketball history. And he's like Michael Southern. It's not Michael. But this guy is just an amazing follower, and it's prideofthetide.com. He's one of the best follows that anybody that likes X can follow. He's a great guy, but he posted some stuff last year, and I think you're right, Gary. I think Alabama hit that 1,000th win last year because we talked about it. And I believe the 999th win was a South Carolina game because I saved that program. Because I knew I wasn't going to go, you know, for a few weeks to another game, and I wanted to at least get that. But that's – I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think what happens again is once the NCAA and their infinite wisdom goes in there and starts jacking around with vacated games and forfeits and all those type of things, it's so hard to track. You know, you win the game on the field, you win the game. You know what I mean? And, you know, but Alabama, yeah, they've had some taken away, and as have other schools, you know. And, again, I just don't think that makes any sense to me. But, all right, well, we'll try to give that handle a follow. Yeah, I'm always looking for accounts that have, you know, historic type of things. And, in fact, I'm going to be doing an interview at the TV station today with a couple guys that are writing a book on Alabama's Rose Bowl history. And here we are, you know, 100 years from the 1926 Rose Bowl when Alabama beat Washington 20-19. And now we're going to be back in the Rose Bowl. That's a lot of irony to me. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, this gentleman posted something yesterday that this game with Indiana is the first time that Alabama's faced a number one team for the first time. Does that make sense? So it's our first game against Indiana. They're ranked number one, and then it's also our first time ever doing that to a first-time opponent. So,
all right, you got me confused now.
Let me read his post. I'll try to find it and send it to you. Hold on just a sec.
All right, okay. I got other calls now, so.
Yeah, it's... Indiana will be the 144th different team to play Alabama. It will be the first time that a team faces Alabama for the first time ranked number one in the AP 20.
Okay, so this is their first time to ever be ranked number one in the AP poll, and they're facing Alabama. So it's the first time.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you, because I know Alabama's played a lot of number one teams. Okay. All right, good stuff, Phillip.
All right, Gary. Take care, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you. All right, let's get to Cowboy. Hey, Cowboy.
How you doing, Gary?
Doing well.
All these trivia experts are calling you today.
Well, I don't mind it. I don't mind. I just
hey, I got something for you here.
Okay.
Do you know why USC pulled out of the Notre Dame rivalry game? Pretty much.
You know, I hadn't read anything about it other than I know. I thought Notre Dame was behind it.
I'll give you a quick deal here.
I hate to not play him, but go ahead.
Yeah, I love that game. I can remember Charles, that game when the earthquake shook. That was unbelievable, that game against Notre Dame. But the reason why they're pulling out USC is Notre Dame signed an agreement with the college football playoff in August starting in 2026. If they were ranked in the top 12, they would be in the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And And USC says that's a material advantage for them, and they're not going to, you know, be a part of it.
Well, so, I can see that, to be honest with you.
They were going to play them in week zero in 2026, you know, before they knew that deal. But, you know, I don't know. But that game ought to go on. That's a college football game.
Yeah, and I'm with you. You and I are both a traditionalist, man. But, you know what, I'm just having to – and you have to do the same thing. We just have to – you know, it's just – it's a different world, and a lot of things that we've held true to for, as I've said before, man, college sports has changed more in the last 5 years probably than it changed the previous 100. I mean, it's just crazy, and you know, we adjust and we evolve, and that's all you can do.
Yeah, you know, this is our third Rose Bowl in 6 years.
Yeah, I know that's something.
The Rose Bowl in Dallas.
Which I'd play. Yeah, I'd play when I'm in Dallas. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a Rose Bowl.
No, right? It is. Yeah.
We beat Notre Dame, Gary. That was a big win.
Of course, I was out there in 2010 when Alabama made its return and Saban got his first national championship. That was special. I'll remember that for a lifetime, I can tell you that.
Oh, I'll remember it forever. I was there, but I tell you what, I don't really want to go back to the Rose Bowl. Once is enough, because if you're midway down an aisle, it takes you half a quarter to get to the restroom or drink.
Listen, it's a difficult trip for media. I mean, we stayed in Newport Beach. You had to be bussed in. Of course, we had a police escort, but you're a long way away from the hotel. And then, like you said, as beautiful it is, getting to it is difficult. And then I can't imagine what it's like if you're just, you know, like I said, we had police escort. I can't imagine what it'd be like getting in and out as a regular passenger. And and that stadium, as beautiful as it is, man, it's you know, we didn't have enough room in the press box, so local TV always pays the price. So they set up, you have spillover media, and they set us up, and they kind of have it roped off, but basically you're sitting with the fans. And so after the game, I'm trying to do a live shot, and I got to do it right there because it's right after the game. I got to do it right there, basically, and fans are mad at me because they're trying to get out. But I had nowhere else to do it. You know what I'm saying? Boy, they had us. But anyway, it's not the best working environment, but I'm glad I got to go. But I'm with you. We're not going out there on January 1st because, again, because the cost and the fact that they win, they'll be in Atlanta, and that one we can go to. So, hey, I got to get to another call, Cowboy. Appreciate you, man. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. And, let Robbie get on there and talk. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. All right, we're going to close out the segment with Robbie Glenn. Hey, Robbie, Merry Christmas.
Hey, Gary, Merry Christmas. And if you come see the family in Birmingham, you know you got an open invite. Come by and get some food and watch whatever games are on.
I may do that. I may tell you, I may stop by after on Christmas evening when I'm coming back through. I may do that.
Sounds good. And you know, the game after that first quarter, great win. Wish our punter would start flipping.
Lord.
Downfall, I think Indiana's going to go after. But I tell you what, a lot of things haven't been talked about is this game, when you get into the playoffs, I know Indiana's played Oregon and they played Ohio State, great teams, great games. But when you get in the playoffs and you're dealing with being off as long as they have, you know, not to mention Christmas break, I'm sure they get released for a few days like Bama. It's a lot that goes on of how you got to stay focused and stay in game shape. And I think because Bama's been there, that's going to be an advantage to them. They've got Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and Josh Chapman telling them what they need to do when they're off. Because, you know, these big 350, 360-pounders, if they're off for a few days, they go to 390 quick. So I think it's going to be an advantage, Bama, of knowing how to take care of themselves and be ready and not be distracted and get ready for this game. And I'm interested to see it. I think it's going to be a great game. First time Indiana's been ranked one. How do they handle that pressure? It's just going to be great. Bama played this week, so they're going to be a little bit more focused and in more game shape, I think. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think they're going to be probably the healthiest they've been since early in the season. I think this extra time off is going to serve them well. I think they're going to have a good plan. I think they're going to be confident. I think it's going to be a heck of a football game. As you've listened to me say this week, I got a lot of respect for Indiana and Kirk Cignetti, but I definitely think Alabama can win the game. And for Indiana, it is something new, Robbie. You're right. I mean, as good as they've been the last couple of years to be number one, to be in the Rose Bowl, to be playing Alabama – We'll see how they handle it.
Yeah, they haven't been there, and I don't think they have anyone on the team or the coach staff that's been in this, of how to handle this kind of layoff and how to handle the distractions of going out to California and the press, and how do you handle your time and keep your guys focused. I think that's going to a lot. Now, you know, come second quarter, third, then it's football. But that first quarter, Bama's got to come out ready, sharp, and put it on them.
Yeah.
And which they didn't do against Oklahoma. No. But I think if we do, we'll be set.
Yeah.
The other game I want to watch is Oregon, Texas Tech. Some of that scoring will be like 70-75. I know they got good defenses, but those are two high-powered offenses going at it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game.
I mean, it'll be a bunch of fun bowl games.
Yeah.
And I know you got a coach coming up, but Miami – I hope they're ready, because that's a physical game against A&M. Never seen so many people get taken off the field, and I've never seen so many people get knocked out in that game as I did Texas A&M Miami. That was some hitting. So I hope Miami is rested and get back, because they're going to have a physical Ohio State.
Hey, thanks, Robbie.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Appreciate you. Merry Christmas. All right, 10:31. We'll take a timeout. Come back with Coach Ellis Johnson next year as the Gary Harris Show continues.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept, Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair, featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m., available for after
the lineup, offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily...
Call 800-836-3388. 800-836-3388. Again, that's 800-836-3388.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's manager. Dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:35. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. The Coach Ellis Johnson going to be joining us here in just a moment. A couple of at messages. Pop and Lynette says, I agree with you, Gary. I love putting as much pressure on as possible on the quarterback. And then QD and Douglasville not happy about some comments that Drew made about Ryan Williams with his inability to catch the football. And I can't remember exactly what Drew said, but QD, that's noted. So appreciate the at messages. Now let's get the coach on, who normally, of course, is with us on Thursday. But we're not going to be here on Christmas, and even if we were, we wouldn't ask Coach to join us. So he's coming on today, which we appreciate. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. I even sacrificed this my birthday today.
Happy birthday, Coach. All right, man.
Everybody's moving these podcasts and shows from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and putting them on today. I got four of these today.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what, you'll be busy.
That's why I'm celebrating my birthday.
Hey, man. Hey, listen, it's good. It's good to get to another one for all of us. So happy birthday. Appreciate you jumping on with us. And I'm going to get to something that you sent me just a little while ago that's very, very interesting. But we're going to start with just looking back at that first round game, Oklahoma and Alabama. You and I broke it down last week. And what an interesting game. I mean, I wasn't there, but I had a lot of media people that were, and they said the energy in that place was unbelievable. Give Oklahoma credit. They fed off of that. They came out and they jumped all over Alabama. It's 17-0. But for the Tide to fight back in that environment, go 75 yards, you know, a couple big catches by Brooks, including the one for 25 and then the fourth and two to get on the board. And from 17-7, it just seemed like Alabama took control of the game. Interesting game. What you know? What was your reaction to what you saw?
Well, it was kind of a flip the script of the
previous
game.
It was, yeah.
And I don't want to take anything away from Alabama. To come back after a lead like that and you're playing away in a stadium like OU's. But the OU sort of gave the game away. You know, they dropped the punt snap. You know, I don't know what the heck happened. Just he was actually in his mechanics getting ready to punt the ball and just dropped it. And he said, well, they all held to a field goal. That wasn't the game. Well, it took away a possession. It took away field position. And it ended up giving them 3 points. And it sort of kind of put a damper on the thing because at that time, OU was pulling away. And then the next, very next series, Mateer throws a pick six. So you ask, how in the heck can a team beat a nationally ranked team rushing the ball for 28 yards? Well, you just heard how they did it. Two bad situations there to turn all the momentum. But give Alabama the credit. Once it turned, they hit the gas pedal, and it looked like OU didn't belong in there the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. The game against Georgia in the SEC championship game, you and I talked about it. It was not a good performance by Alabama, but they did have a lot of, you know, no excuses. You play with who you got, but they had a lot of guys out and some other guys banged up. And they had a chance to get a little bit healthier, and they'll be even healthier for Indiana. I thought that made a difference in that game, even with Ty. I mean, he just looked much more assertive, stepping into his throws. And when they give him time, we kind of saw the Ty Simpson from the first half of the season, Coach. He was accurate, and he really played well in the game.
Yeah, he played phenomenal. And even during the little stretch, these previous six games, he had a stretch of 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. I said then, they don't have a running game. And all the pressure falls back on him to make third downs. They were 2 of 12 on third down. They only got 260 yards. The passing was good, but they're putting too much pressure. I mean this by the team is putting too much pressure back on Ty to have to, you know, convert all these third downs and make these plays because they can't run the football. They average 1.1 yard every time they ran the football. And I know OU's good and a good defense and all that, but it's just astounding to me that they still consistently this year cannot find a running game.
Yeah, I was on another show before mine this morning, and the guy was pointing out the stats just like you did, and I just said, well, listen, you know, this is a team that's going to have to find a way to win. You know, this is who they are, unfortunately, and yep. It's going to be a lot of pressure on Ty. All right, before we get to the upcoming games, the other first-round games, I want to ask you about A&M because, you know, I thought back to the A&M's history, and you know, and I've got some friends of mine that are A&M people, so we talk about it a lot, and they were happy with the season, but it reminded me of a 1975 when Emory Villard was a coach. They had a great linebacker named Itzimanini. I think they had Bubba Bean. They were a great team, and you may not remember this coach, but they were 10-0, and they beat Texas 20-10. They were number 2 in the country, and they were set to play for the national championship. Some reason, I can't even remember why, the Arkansas game had gotten moved that year. I don't know if it was a weather or they did it for TV or whatever, but it had been scheduled for earlier. They moved it to December the 6th, and A&M went to Little Rock at War Memorial Stadium and got worn out 30-6 and wound up playing USC in the Liberty Bowl and getting beat. So they were 10-0, number 2 in the country, and on pace to play for the national championship, and they lost their 2 games. It reminded me last 2 games. I mean, this year. I mean, you're 11-0, you lose to Texas, and then you're at home for a playoff game, and you just – you know, give Miami's front four credit. They're good. But Reed, A&M had some opportunities, but in the critical downs in the game, he didn't come through for them. And it was a really heartbreaking loss for the Aggies at home, 10-3 to Miami.
Yeah, I think you did a couple of things. I said all during the course of the year that when Reed was protected and had a clean day, he was dangerous, you know, and could throw the ball and all that. He's a pretty good quarterback, but he's not a national championship playoff quarterback. And when a team could get to him and get him out of his rhythm a little bit, he throws off, he loses his quarterback coach was on a pod, really said that.
he said he loses his fundamentals when he gets under pressure and has to move a little bit. And it's obvious, you know, you did the very last interception, just, you know, very inaccurate ball. But A&M this year, Gary, and they didn't make the schedule, but they ended up playing seven of the bottom nine teams.
Yeah, sure did.
Okay, and they played Texas, who was ranked number five in the SEC, and they got beat. So maybe there was something there all along. They statistically, they looked like a dangerous defensive football team, but they statistically were not good on defense this year. So I wasn't shocked by this one. I actually thought, you got the Alabama game right. I actually thought that Miami could win this game. And they went into a terrible environment, I mean, a tough environment, just like Alabama did, and they pulled it off. Miami's the only team I saw that had a really dominant rushing game against a good football team.
The other two games, Coach, unfortunately, we got what we expected. We'd already seen the Tulane Ole Miss movie before, and it was a blowout. And even though, give James Madison a lot of credit. I mean, they fought for 60 minutes and went on a 99-yard drive late, and they made that score look more respectable at 51-34, but I think it was 34-6 at halftime. It was over at half. And again, I don't blame the programs. I mean, good for them to get in, but you and I discussed this last week, two group of fives and a 12-team playoff. That's a flaw, right?
Yeah, it's a flaw, but it's created by the Power Fours, the ACC, and some of the other teams that didn't take care of their business when they had a chance. I do not like the format. I totally agree with you. I know they had to do something to give them a chance to get in, or they would have never voted to have a playoff. And I think they had to have a group of fives, you know, buy into it also and support it, or they couldn't have had one. Now, they could eventually, it could move off, and they would just say, y'all are not involved. Y'all go have your own playoff. But that's the only thing I could see. And then they did what the rules say. They did what you got to do to get in. And some other Power Fours didn't hit the mark. So, like you said, I don't blame those schools for getting in. But it really isn't a playoff. That's not even anywhere close to the best 12 teams in the country. It's hard enough to pick the best 12 if you didn't have those rules. I just think they need to seed them 1 through 16 or 1 through 12. I'm in favor, really, of 16, going to 16. But seed them, and that's who gets in. It doesn't matter where they come from, what conference, in from one conference and two from another. Whatever happens, happens. And I'm almost thinking, Gary, they need to get something similar to the BCS, old BCS formula, and have some really coaches and everybody else come up with that formula and get the human bias out of it, too.
Yeah, makes too much sense. That's why they probably won't adopt it. It's just anything that just seems like common sense is involved, we can't get to it. All right, you sent me some stuff before our segment, and really some interesting stats here. And it's funny, again, because the show I was on earlier, the host asked me, he said, you know, how many players do you think from Indiana could start for Alabama? And I said, well, I can't break that down for you. I said, but I'll tell you this, they're a really good football team, and they've got some good players. But in terms of just the talent in regards to the recruiting out of high school. Georgia leads the way with 13 5-stars, 57 4-stars, and 23 3-stars. Alabama second, 14 5-stars, 50 4-stars, and 17 3-stars. Indiana is next to last, even behind Tulane. And JMU, of course, is last. Indiana has 0 5-stars, 7 4-stars, and 55 3-stars. So it's proof, again, that in the portal era, of course, they brought in guys from the portal, but, you know, there's different ways to skin a cat here. And Indiana's got a heck of a football team, but in terms of just pure talent, based on the talent ratings out of high school, Alabama's a more talented roster than Indiana.
No question about it. They're more talented than Oklahoma. They're more talented than most of the teams they've lost to. Alabama, as high school recruiting-wise, has been extremely strong throughout not only the end of Nick's span, but DeBoer's recruited extremely well, too. And the portal is key. I mean, if you do a great job with it, pick well, and use your money, you know, wisely, it can really keep holes, glaring depth chart holes from jumping up and biting you. But I do think eventually you build a championship program that's consistent. It's built with high school recruiting, and the portal needs to be used to find plugs in the holes. And, you know, there are a lot of transfer quarterbacks in this playoff. But I still think if your football team was recruited and you're at the top of the nation every year in recruiting, you're going to end up being in better shape. Yeah. I did a little thing off of this. The three stars, I mean, I'm not saying they're not good players in there, but if you add the fives and the fours together and then compare them each and every team against each other, I mean, Alabama's got a 43-player advantage over Indiana with fives and fours. I mean, that's unbelievable. You know, they've got 50 fives and fours. IU's got seven.
Jeez.
And the difference in all the games, just the way they match up, Georgia and Ole Miss has got a 24 difference. Oregon, Texas Tech had a 32 difference. And Ohio State and Miami got a 23 difference, which surprised me a little bit because Miami recruits well in high school. But it really is a stark picture. And when you watch Indiana play, just the eye test, you can tell their players are not the best athletes on the field, but they're the best football players. And I mean, they seldom make mistakes.
That's right.
They keep pressure on people and they tackle well, and their effort is just relentless.
100%. So what's your first impression of the Rose Bowl? We can talk more about it next week, but your first impression of Alabama and Indiana, the matchup?
Well, until somebody can beat Indiana, I mean, they've got to prove it to me, and I think they've even got them in a 6-point or 5-point spread
they
right
do.
Now. Alabama is just as good as Indiana, except for one thing. They're not as physically tough. Now, they did show it a little bit on defense this last game.
Mm-hmm.
But if they still don't have a running game in this next game, I don't know if they can beat Indiana. Indiana's just playing too much balance and making plays in every phase of the game. So, but they are good or better than Indiana on their roster, obviously. But until they've got a running game, they've got to prove it to me.
Let's talk about the defense because, again, Kane Womack's philosophy is to play zone and, you know, not blitz that often. But they changed that up a little bit against Oklahoma. They played some man-to-man against Mateer. They got after him. They brought some pressure. And I'm thinking with Mendoza, if you're going to play coverage, then I don't care. Unless you get pressure on him, he's going to find the holes in that zone. He's just too good. So would you look at trying to pressure more and maybe play some – and Indiana's got really good receivers, but you just can't give that guy time. He'll just dissect you, won't he, if you don't get some heat on him?
Yeah, I think that is one of the biggest keys to the game is who gets pressure on the other quarterback. Because I know I keep beating a dead horse, but without a running game, Alabama's the pressure on Simpson is the key.
That's right.
Then flipping on the other side, I think that they've got to get to Mendoza and affect him, or they'll give up points. And Alabama got some guys back last week, I think. Maybe one of their best edge rushers. And they got pressure this past game without bringing pressure, too, without bringing an extra player. So that's a good sign for them. I think Alabama's defense has been playing much, much better these last 2 or 3 weeks.
Here's another stat. You sent me a stat. This is just crazy. We talk about Nick Saban, what he did at Alabama, but his influence on the game is unbelievable. The head coach at Oregon, the head coach at Indiana, the head coach at Ole Miss, the head coach at Georgia, and the head coach at Miami, all coach for Nick Saban at Alabama. How about that one?
That's amazing. And it's not surprising. I mean, some of them moved away from the staff, you know, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not surprising that they've all become really good head coaches and because of the experience they probably had under him. And they were probably pretty darn good coaches before he hired them because he wouldn't have hired them if they weren't. But there's no question about his career and his tenure. It's still being felt in college football and will be for quite a while.
I want to ask you about Cignetti, and I don't know if you know him from your days in coaching, but this is a guy now that he's 64 years old. He got a kind of a later start as a head coach after he left Alabama. He left to go to Indiana University, Pennsylvania to be a head coach, just to get an opportunity. Did well there, went to Elon, did great there, went to James Madison. We know what he did there. And what he's done in 2 years at Indiana, I mean, a lot of people forget. This is the losing this program in big-time college football. Just a remarkable job you know, some people call him arrogant. I mean, I would say he's just confident, and, you know, he has a plan and he works it. But just your thoughts as a fellow coach on what he's been able to do.
I think it's easily arguable that he's the best coach in college football in the past 5 or 6 years. I mean, it's just no doubt. Now, James Madison, there are a lot of guys that come through there and won and gotten good jobs out of it. But all those other schools, I mean, he's won at all of those schools, and they were never winners, consistent winners, before he came in. And, I mean, I just look at it, and it's almost unbelievable to me. And we go back to this thing we were talking about a little while ago about the recruiting and the level of talent that you can get there, and that other schools have that you've got to play against, and he still beats them.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Oregon on the road this year. And, I mean, it just, you know, of course, it beat Ohio State, who nobody, whoever said he can't beat him. And he beat him. And I just think that what he's done is unmatched over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. All right, Coach, appreciate it, and Merry Christmas. Thank you for, you know, adjusting your schedule. And, again, we've already had a couple of listeners text me to wish you a happy birthday. So enjoy it.
I appreciate it. Look forward to it next week.
All right, thank you, Coach. All right, 10:53. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap it up for this Tuesday, the final show that we're going to have before Christmas. We'll be back after this.
Miss the one and only Smokey Robinson live.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily...
Download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy today, but dry and maybe a sprinkle early this morning. Temperatures climbing into the upper 60s to near 70. Tonight we stay mild with partial clearing, lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow turns sunnier and warmer, highs in the low to mid 70s. Christmas Day looks mild as well, with highs in the middle 70s. I'm meteorologist Bill Murray on Tide 100.9.
It's 66 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
All right, 10:56, winding it down. And again, a reminder that we will not be with you the rest of the week. Taking a few days off for the holidays. I think it's deserved for all of our hosts here at Tide. And but we will be back on Monday for a show. But I want to wish everybody out there a very Merry Christmas. And I'm going to say something about all our listeners. And I've talked with Chase about this, and he even mentioned it to Reed, is that we've kind of developed kind of a almost like a family here with all of our listeners. And because of that, you know, it's special time. And, you know, I have a couple of people social messaging me media when I, you know, I sometimes get a little animated, but it's because I know these callers so well, you know, Cowboy and I, Tom and I, others, you know, we go back and forth a little bit, and that's, it's all in good fun. It's all in, you know, but I appreciate every one of you. I do. And even though this is not my main job obviously is working at the TV station, but I've been doing this for over 10 years here. And you don't do something for over 10 years unless you enjoy it. And I enjoy it a lot. And I appreciate every one of you. And I couldn't do the show. When I first started the show, I looked at the time slot, 9 to 11. And I was like, well, that's really not a great, but I had to make it fit my schedule. But that's really not a great sports talk slot, you know, post morning drive, not before the lunch hour, not afternoon drive. And I thought, well, we'll be a content driven show and not a caller driven show. So I've, you know, figured I had to come up with a lot of content. But I still call it a content show, Reed, but I think some days we're caller driven. Light today. And we appreciate all of you. Have a Merry Christmas. I will visit with you again on Monday. And for Reed, I'm Gary. Thanks for tuning in. And I will be back on TV tonight with the local news on WVUA 23 and with Rodney Orr for Tider Insider TV tonight at 6:30. That's always a lot of fun. So have a Merry Christmas, everyone. And we will visit again on Monday.